Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, finally, the Lake Show starts right now. News Talk 830 WCCO. Henry Lake, Christopher Tubbs for the next 90 minutes, and it's going to be a jam-packed 90 minutes. But the wait was worth it, right? We crushed the Chicago White Sox today, 6-1. The rain delay, it took some time, but it was worth it. You win the series, you've got a 2-game winning streak, and we have the home opener tomorrow at Target Field. Looking forward to that. Over the course of the next 90 minutes, we will have coming up next segment, our weekly segment. Fox 9 News anchor Randy Meyer will join us in just a matter of moments. But we should probably put a bow on this whole, like, the Twins situation for today. Pablo Lopez looked the part of an ace. And who cares if it was the White Sox? Doesn't matter. They get paid like every other Major League Baseball team to go out there and play. A couple of days ago, Twins fans were in their feelings, and I'll raise my hand and say that I was one of them, staring at 0-4, and I'm like, oh, gosh. But the sky's not falling. Now at 2-4, what do we see in the standings? The Twins are tied for first with everybody else.
Your first place, Minnesota Twins.
Your first place, Minnesota Twins.
We are back, baby.
Your first place, Kansas City Royals.
We're back.
Your first place, Detroit Tigers.
We're back.
Your first place, Chicago White Sox.
They suck.
Your first place, Cleveland Guardians.
We're back.
Everybody's at 2-4. So what was the saying last year? It was that the American League Central was probably the toughest division in the American League.
Yes.
We know it sample size matters. Mm-hmm. But early on, we're all equal.
I think if there was a definition of mid, it would be the American League Central. But you know what? It's okay.
The only team right now in the division with a plus with regards to run differential is the White Sox. That's it. The Twins have the worst point differential. It doesn't matter.
No.
We're the only team in the division right now.
Just win, baby.
With the winning streak.
Just win, baby.
We've won two in a row. The Royals have lost two in a row. The Tigers lost. The Guardians have lost three in a row. And the White Sox, clearly who we beat two in a row, they've lost two in a row. So we'll take it. We will take it. But great job by Pablo Lopez today. Real quick, his stat line. He was in there for 7 innings. He gave up 4 hits, 1 earned run, the home run that he gave up, 5 strikeouts, 1 walk on 98 pitches. Good job, Pablo. Good job. And what do you guys think of Harrison Bader now? All he does is hit dingers.
My name's Harrison. I hit dingers.
That's all he does. You guys take that. Why don't you? All right, we'll get back to the Twins here in a little bit because we're excited about the Twins and the winning streak and the home opener tomorrow at Target Field. But coming up next, we will talk to Fox 9 news anchor Randy Meyer. He joins us next here on The Lake Show. And that would be Randy Meyer as he joins us on the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline. Randy, this show was going to move by extremely fast because we were so late getting to it. No, I'm not rushing you. I'm just saying that overall, just because I only have 90 minutes of content to get to. But how are you doing, man?
I am really good.
You know, it's funny. Yeah. It's funny because I'll just go ahead and use the phrase, are the weather gods drunk? Because the moment that we think that we're done with winter, we get slapped in the face with snow.
This is why, Henry, that people who retire decide to spend the months of, let's say, late February, March, and April away from our beautiful Minnesota. Because it really limits your ability to have fun.
When was the last time that you made the mistake of putting away your winter clothes and then you had to go searching and breaking it out all over again?
About 2 weeks ago.
Really? 2 weeks ago? What happened?
Yeah. I was very optimistic. That first bout of really kind of nice 60-degree weather we had, I was like, okay, fine. Maybe it's going to mimic last year and spring is here. I know it's not officially spring yet. Back then, it was before the 20th. I guess it was officially the 20th of March when we had spring this year. But I was like, I want to go for it. And then a few days later, I had nothing to wear. I had to dig it all back out again.
Well, mentally for me, Randy, I think of two specific events that put me in the frame of mind that spring is here and winter is over. The first event clearly is the home opener, right? So when we are at Target Field, then I start to try and transition mentally into, okay, yeah, we might get some kind of chilly weather, maybe a little dusting, but officially in my mind, springtime is here. And then the other thing that happens, and it's not anything to do with Minnesota specifically, but when the Masters is taking place, then I'm like, okay, yeah, golf season, yeah, it's here.
I hear you. Exactly. I do know that I was kind of bending Ian's ear earlier this evening about tomorrow, because I'll be down there in the plaza, as I always am for the opener. And as of yesterday, we were supposed to have sunshine in mid-40s, and now apparently very little sunshine for that 3:10 first pitch maybe. So he's advising me to wear an extra layer. And I'm like, you know what? Dude, you're kind of a sissy. And so I'm going to do my own thing. And he said, well, you're going to regret it because we're going to have this conversation again tomorrow and you're going to be cold. And I'm like, we'll see.
Wait, where's Ian from?
That's the funny part. He's from Edmonton, Canada, one of the godforsaken most unpleasant places weather-wise to live in the entire planet. But he does not enjoy cold weather at all.
Okay. All right. That's kind of odd.
And you're free to give him all the grief about it that you want to when you see him, because he fully admits it.
Yeah, I will. I'll tell him that you that you rubber stamped it too. All right. So go ahead.
I have time to tell you a quick little story?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I mean, quick by my standards. And I feel a responsibility to tell your listeners this because it happened to me. So Wednesdays is Gump Gump Day. Gump Gump is what my grandchildren call me. That's the name they came up with. And so that stuck, right? So
Wait. Did you say Dump Dump or Grump Dump?
Gump Gump, as in G-U-M-P-G.
Oh, okay. Gump Dump. Okay. All right. I got you.
Yeah. And so Wednesday is Gump Gump Day. So I go visit my grandchildren on Wednesday mornings. Well, 3 weeks ago, because we haven't talked since then. 3 weeks ago, it was, let's go to the park. And I have a 2.5-year-old grandson, and he loves the park. And we got there and just had one of these big, giant tube slides, right?
Okay.
And so we're going down the tube slide. So I'm sitting on my butt, laying back that way, and he's on top of me, the same position. We go down the slide, again. We go down again. Third time. We go down, and by now he's figured out that just before you land, you got to put your feet out to land, right?
Yep.
Well, about 6 feet before we exited that tube slide, he picks up his little leg with his little rubber boot, and it catches on the side of the tube slide, and he breaks his leg.
Oh!
I mean, snaps his leg like when we... Fortunately, my daughter was videotaping because she wanted to get... So we can see that his entire foot, his heel is pointing forward, stuck up against that slide. I don't say this to be gross. I'm saying because what we found out later was from the doctor was that this is a very common occurrence, that adults go down slides with small children, but we create a velocity and a force that is too much for them. And these types of accidents happen all the time. If they go down by themselves, they don't create the speed, the velocity, and the momentum.
Yep.
They injure themselves. But if there's an adult involved, this is what happened.
And how old?
2.5. He broke his tibia and his fibula.
Oh, gosh.
And so he's in a cast from his toes to his hip.
Oh, man.
So I say that as a cautionary tale to all gump-gumps out there or parents who go down the tube slides with their kids not realizing that this is a very real possibility.
Well, I'm bummed that that happened. I know that you were probably deeply saddened by that. But in this business, what do we call that? I think you just did us a service. That's called a public service announcement. So, yes, I'm glad that you kind of relayed that story. Is he in good spirits now? Or
He's fine. He was fine an hour after he had the cast on. The kids, it's unbelievable. The doctor said if this had been an adult injury, first of all, they'd had to put our leg back together. We'd have been trashed at the knee, the ankle, and the bones. We'd have been out of commission for 4 months.
Yep.
He will have that cast off in a week.
So what?
1 month in a cast, and he's out.
Oh my goodness, that's unbelievable. Yeah. Well, yeah. If he is a fan of ice cream, when the Henry Lake ice cream comes out this summer, you got to make sure that you let me know, and I'll get him plenty.
Oh, that'd be awesome. He does love ice cream.
Who doesn't love ice cream? Well, who doesn't love it?
So does ice. So does Gum Gum.
I hear you. All right, Randy. So, kind of give us the lay of the land. What are some of the top headlines that you guys will be going over with the Fox 9 News?
Sure. Well, this being Liberation Day, according to our president, we're going to dig deep into the tariffs, what that means. Mainly, you know, for us here in Minnesota, we're talking about our relationship with Canada. More than probably any other situation. Obviously, though, I will call them the reciprocal or universal tariffs will affect us on a lot of products. Jury's out on what the long-term advantages and or disadvantages are, but we talked to some experts about does this build more manufacturing in the U.S., which in the long term is better for our country as a whole. Then we'll talk to others who say this is going to be a bit of a pain in the, you know what, for consumers until the dust settles on it. So we'll cover that. We talked to a young lady who was laid off from the Minnesota Department of Health, kind of the challenges there on what's going on over there. 170 employees were laid off. And so you've got a situation where it doesn't look like it would be a Minnesota Department of Health that would expand anytime soon to bring those jobs back. Obviously, we'll talk about the wolves, probably the last big hurdle of the transition of ownership between Glenn Taylor, Alex Rodriguez, and Mark Lurie took place with Glenn. And I'm sure you've probably talked about it. Glenn signing off on the deal. Now it goes to the league for their signature, and then it's a done deal. And we will talk about what the implications of the Wisconsin Supreme Court race last night are for the future in that state, dealing with things like redistricting. The Supreme Court in that state will also deal with abortion issues and some other pretty high-profile issues in that state that in some ways have national implications.
Yeah, I got you. Well, Randy, it's always a pleasure to have you on, my man. Next Wednesday, I believe we have Twins baseball on in the evening because there'll be a four-game series against the Kansas City Royals. So I will catch up with you and Kelsey in a couple of weeks. Sound good?
Sounds good, and you heard we're picking up some Twins games ourselves. So
absolutely, yeah, that'd be fun for us. I think 15 games, right?
Yeah, 15 games, five on the network, five that we will simulcast, and we'll have crews down on the plaza and in the stadium on it'll be Tuesday night baseball. Our local ones will all be on Tuesday night, so we'll have a big presence down there.
Oh, real quick, how long will you be at the stadium tomorrow?
I will be there. I'll be on the air from 5 to 6:30. I'll get down there around 3 is the plan.
Okay, I'll try to find you. Yeah, I'll try to find you at some point. And then you know, tomorrow is the latest episode of One on One with Henry Lake, and this latest edition it will have Ken Herbeck. So it's just timely. Opening.
Oh, Ken's
home
a
opener.
Good friend of mine. So that'll be great, Kent. Ken and I have known each other a long, long time. We have mutual friends that we're very close to, so I see Ken quite often, and he's always a great interview.
Yeah, he's a great guy. All right, that's Randy Meyer, Fox 9 News anchor, joining us here on The Lake Show on The Good Neighbor. We'll talk to him in a couple of weeks. We'll take a break, and coming up next, how will Minnesota sports fans remember Glenn Taylor? We get to that next year on The Lake Show.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
All right, the talk and text line, 651-461-9226. The story of the day locally, Glenn Taylor cedes ownership of the Minnesota Timberwolves and Lynx to Mark Lowry and A-Rod. But my question to you guys is, how will Minnesota sports fans remember Glenn Taylor? How I will remember Glenn Taylor is the businessman from Minnesota, from Mankato, that saved the NBA here in Minnesota. Period, point blank. Now, of course, we will look at the track record of the people that he hired to run this organization on the basketball side, and it wasn't pretty. There was some good, whole lot of bad. But at the end of the day, Glenn Taylor is the number one reason why the Timberwolves still exist here to this day. So I'm going to always give him credit for that. Yeah, we can take shots and say that he made this bad decision, that bad decision. There's a lot there. But that's the number. Put it like this. Of all the things on the list, that's at the top, Chris. That is ultimately at the top.
Yeah, there's no question. I think that there are going to be some of the younger fans that won't realize that Glenn Taylor saved this team just a few years after its inception. Like, I mean, this team could have been gone by the mid-90s. And then we wouldn't have had. Yeah, I would rather have all of the downs that we've had with the Wolves over the years than not have them at all. Because people are going to remember David Kahn and the Joe Smith handshake and just the awful deals, all of the calamities, and all of that is fair. But at the end of the day, we do have to remember that this team was earmarked for, I believe it was New Orleans. In the early 90s.
It was Bob Arum and the whole, he was trying to get them to New Orleans.
Yeah. So I think the older fan base, Gen X and advanced will remember that and be grateful. I think that the younger fans don't realize what Glenn Taylor did to save this franchise for Minnesota. And they're going to look at it, good riddance. We want to Alex Rodriguez, Mark Lowry, they're going to be hip. They're going to be fun. Okay, let's see where it goes. But at least Glenn Taylor was committed to it. Even if he didn't make good decisions, Glenn Taylor, I felt, legitimately had the Wolves' best interest in mind.
Well, this is what I'm going
to
say.
He wanted them to win.
Absolutely. He spent a lot of money. He never, you can say a lot of things about
never
Glenn Taylor. He never went the cheap route. Now, there's an allegation that A-Rod and Mark Lowry are going to go the cheap route. We don't know that. We got to see how this thing plays out. We got to give them at least, some time. And it'll, we talk about sample size a lot. Bottom line is, I can't make any assumptions about the new ownership group. And this is the one thing that I'm going to say about that, is that I don't think it's fair to make an assumption about what they're going to do or not do until we see how things play out over the next few years. Anybody out there that is got their pom-poms out and that are ready to cheerlead and just talk about, oh, yeah, A-Rod and Mark, you don't know what they're going to do. So just calm down a second. I'm not saying that they're going to be bad for Minnesota. I'm not going to say that they're going to be the greatest ownership group to ever be in the NBA. Bottom line is, we don't know. So don't have an assumption one way or the other.
Yeah, I think that we look at the Cat deal, and it's all about the luxury tax in the NBA is a huge thing, and wanting to get underneath what they call that second apron. And it's a lot of mumbo-jumbo to say, you got to trim the fat. Yeah, I mean, if this was Doge, they would have gotten rid of Anthony Edwards and Naz Reid and Jaden McDaniels and everything. They're trying to be proactive with making sure that they don't have to pay that luxury tax. And I think that was one, maybe not the sole reason, but I feel like that was a primary reason why they made the cat deal.
I'm a little bit confused about the Matt from Matt in Little Falls. He says, but we would not have had, but we would have had an expansion team if the Wolves moved. The NBA would not have bailed on the 13th largest market in the country. How do you figure that we would have gotten an expansion team? Like, what's the point in moving to get an expansion? Like, and first off, we wouldn't have had an expansion team right away. That's just not how it works.
We're way down the list in expansion.
That wouldn't have, I mean, that makes no sense whatsoever. At that particular time we're talking about, back then, why would you allow a team to move? Wouldn't it have made sense to have an expansion team start in New Orleans?
Yeah. Yeah, that would have made the most sense at that point. Again, we're
so
talking,
move the Wolves, but then we just have a team. We just lost a team or a team move just for the. Maybe I'm reading his text.
Yeah, and let's not forget this was only a few years after the Wolves started in '89. So the Wolves' first year, if I'm not mistaken, was '89-'90 in the Metrodome. So they didn't even move into the Target Center. That wasn't even ready for them at that point. So it's
Not in '89. The next year they moved into the Target Center.
Yeah, next year. First year was at the Dome.
Yep. All right. Coming up next in studio, man, this guy, he'll turn your lights out. What does Kendrick Lamar say? Turn his TV off. Boxer Slink Proper in studio. He's got a fight at the Myth next weekend. We'll talk to him next.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanses.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.